Jehovah highly esteems the courage of his loyal worshipers. True courage, however, is shown by action, as is the case with other good qualities. For instance, faith without works is dead. Likewise, love must be expressed not merely in words, but what does the Bible say? In deed and truth. So it is with courage. It takes trust in Jehovah to face distressing situations, but our trust must also be accompanied by action. Inaction, indecision, or sluggishness may indicate a lack of courage. Courage should impel us to speak and act with boldness. Jehovah, in turn, will bless our courage and help us to succeed. This fact is well illustrated by the Bible account of David. When it came to doing Jehovah's will, David was a man of courage and of action. Even after stumbling and suffering many calamities, David remained loyal to Jehovah down to the end of his life. Shortly before his death, David formally entrusted his son Solomon with the construction of Jehovah's temple. Imagine how Solomon must have felt when David handed him architectural plans inspired by Jehovah himself. Evidently, Solomon felt overwhelmed by the task. But his father, David, strengthened him with words that can strengthen us today when we face challenges. We invite all of you, including you children and young folks, to open your Bible and read along as we listen to the account recorded at 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 1 to 20. I'll give you a moment. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 28, beginning with verse 1.
David then congregated all the princes of Israel to Jerusalem, the princes of the tribes, the chiefs of the divisions ministering to the king, the chiefs of thousands and the chiefs of hundreds, the chiefs of all the property and livestock of the king and of his sons, together with the court officials, and every mighty and capable man. Then King David rose to his feet and said,
"Hear me, my brothers and my people. It was my heart's desire to build a house as the resting place for the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, and as the footstool of our God. And I made preparations to build. But the true God told me, 'You will not build a house for my name, for you are a man of wars, and you have shed blood.' However, Jehovah, the God of Israel, chose me out of all the house of my father to become king over Israel forever. For he chose Judah as leader, and of the house of Judah, my father's house. And of my father's sons, I was the one whom he approved to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for Jehovah has given me many sons, he chose my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingship of Jehovah over Israel. He said to me, 'Your son Solomon is the one who will build my house and my courtyards. For I have chosen him as my son, and I will become his father. I will firmly establish his kingship forever if he resolutely observes my commandments and my judicial decisions, as he is now doing. So I say before the eyes of all Israel, Jehovah's congregation, and in the ears of our God, carefully observe and search for all the commandments of Jehovah your God, so that you may possess the good land and pass it on as a permanent inheritance to your sons after you. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father, and serve him with a complete heart and with a delightful soul. For Jehovah searches through all hearts, and he discerns every inclination of the thoughts. If you search for him, he will let himself be found by you. But if you leave him, he will reject you forever." See now, for Jehovah has chosen you to build a house as a sanctuary. Be courageous and go to work."
David then gave to his son Solomon the architectural plan of the porch and of its houses, its storerooms, its roof chambers, its inner rooms, and the house of the propitiatory cover. He gave him the architectural plan of everything that had been conveyed to him through inspiration for the courtyards of Jehovah's house, for all the dining rooms around it, for the treasuries of the house of the true God, and for the treasuries of the things made holy, also for the divisions of the priests and of the Levites, for all the duties of the service of Jehovah's house, and for all the utensils of the service of Jehovah's house, also for the weight of the gold for all the utensils for the different services, the weight of all the utensils of silver, and for all the utensils for the different services, also the weight for the gold lampstands and their gold lamps, the weight of the different lampstands and their lamps, and the weight of the silver lampstands, for each lampstand and its lamps according to its use. Also the weight of the gold for the tables of the layer bread, for each table, as well as the silver for the tables of silver, for the forks, the bowls, the pitchers of pure gold, and the weight of the small gold bowls, for each small bowl, and the weight of the small silver bowls, for each small bowl. He also gave the weight for the refined gold for the incense altar, and for the representation of the chariot, namely, the cherubs of gold that spread their wings out and overshadowed the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah. David said,
"The hand of Jehovah was upon me, and he gave me insight to put all the details of the architectural plan in writing."
Then David said to his son Solomon,
"Be courageous and strong, and go to work. Do not be afraid or be terrified, for Jehovah God, my God, is with you. He will not desert you or abandon you, but he will be with you until all the work for the service of Jehovah's house is finished."
Imagine Solomon's task. Not only had he been commissioned to build a unique house of true worship, but this temple was also to be exceedingly magnificent, with fame and beauty known in all lands. Yet Solomon had little, if any, experience as a builder. David anticipated the challenges that lay ahead. Further, Solomon would face personal attacks from inside and outside his family. David, therefore, admonished his son to be obedient and loyal to Jehovah. He also urged Solomon to be courageous and strong and to go to work. Fear could have paralyzed Solomon. Thinking that his assignment was too difficult, he might have procrastinated or even abandoned the task altogether. This would have displeased Jehovah greatly. Hence, David repeated the counsel, "Go to work." David understood that courage and trust in Jehovah must be accompanied by action. He knew this from personal experience. Let's examine some events in David's life that called for courage. And as we read these accounts, ask yourself, was David prone to procrastinate, to hesitate, or to become paralyzed in the face of difficult problems? Consider, for instance, the circumstances surrounding David's anointing as king of Israel. King Saul was still reigning, but Jehovah had rejected Saul because of his flagrant disobedience. Read along in your Bible as you listen to the words of 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 to 23. That's 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 to 23.
Jehovah eventually said to Samuel,
"How long will you mourn for Saul, now that I have rejected him from ruling as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, because I have selected from among his sons a king for myself.
But Samuel said,
How can I go? When Saul hears about it, he will kill me.
Jehovah replied,
Take a young cow with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to Jehovah. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice. Then I will make known to you what to do. You must anoint for me the one whom I designate to you.
Samuel did what Jehovah said. When he came to Bethlehem, the elders of the city were trembling at meeting him, and they said,
Does your coming mean peace?
To this he said,
It means peace. I have come to sacrifice to Jehovah. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice.
Then he sanctified Jesse and his sons, after which he summoned them to the sacrifice. As they came in and he saw Eliab, he said,
Surely, here before Jehovah stands his anointed one.
But Jehovah said to Samuel,
Do not pay attention to his appearance and how tall he is, for I have rejected him. For the way man sees is not the way God sees, because mere man sees what appears to the eyes, but Jehovah sees into the heart.
Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass before Samuel. But he said,
Jehovah has not chosen this one either.
Next, Jesse presented Shammah. But he said,
Jehovah has not chosen this one either.
So Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse,
Jehovah has not chosen any of these.
Finally, Samuel said to Jesse,
Are these all of your boys?
To this he said,
The youngest has been left out until now. He is pasturing the sheep.
Then Samuel said to Jesse,
Send for him, because we will not sit down for the meal until he comes here.
So he sent for him and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and handsome in appearance. Then Jehovah said,
Get up, anoint him, for this is the one.
So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of Jehovah began to empower David from that day forward. Samuel later rose and went his way to Ramah. Now the Spirit of Jehovah had departed from Saul, and a bad spirit from Jehovah terrorized him. The servants of Saul said to him,
You see that a bad spirit from God is terrorizing you. Let our Lord, please, command your servants before you to look for a man who is skilled at playing the harp. Whenever a bad spirit from God comes upon you, he will play it, and you will feel better.
So Saul said to his servants,
Find me, please, a man who plays well, and bring him to me.
One of the attendants said,
Look, I have seen how a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, plays skillfully, and he is a courageous, mighty warrior. He can speak well, and he is handsome, and Jehovah is with him.
Saul then sent messengers to Jesse and said,
Send to me your son David, who is with the flock.
So Jesse loaded a donkey with bread, a skin bottle of wine, and a young goat, and sent them to Saul with his son David. Thus David came to Saul and began serving him. Saul grew to love him very much, and he became his armor-bearer. Saul sent a message to Jesse,
Please let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my eyes.
Whenever a bad spirit from God came upon Saul, David took the harp and played it. And Saul found relief and felt better, and the bad spirit would depart from him.
In your mind's eye, could you picture young David, his father, and his brothers all standing before the prophet Samuel? Then Jehovah handpicked David to be king. and directed Samuel to anoint the boy. Yet Saul remained on the throne, still widely recognized as Israel's legitimate king. That was surely a time when David needed courage. For one thing, how would Saul react upon learning that David had been anointed as king? Saul would certainly seek to kill him. So imagine how David felt when he was summoned to Saul's house to become his personal attendant. He must have had misgivings, to say the least. What about us today? We may be feeling anxiety over family difficulties, health problems, financial troubles, persecution, or our own sinful inclinations. But these problems needn't scare us into spiritual paralysis. When we face such challenges, we should seek Jehovah's help through prayer, His Word, and the congregation. Often we'll find practical things we can do to minimize our problems. Even when problems don't go away, we should stay busy, working hard to do Jehovah's will as best we can, even in the face of calamity. That is true courage. When David was called to appear before Saul, he didn't succumb to fear. He showed strength and courage, and he went to work. He accepted the assignment, knowing that Jehovah would give him practical wisdom to act according to the need. As it turned out, King Saul grew to love David very much, and David became Saul's armor-bearer. Please follow the dramatic reading of 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 to 51. That's just one chapter over. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. This is the exciting story of David and Goliath. The account illustrates how David used practical wisdom and showed courage.
And the Philistines assembled their armies for war. They assembled at Socoh, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. Saul and the men of Israel assembled and camped in the valley of Elah, and they drew up in battle formation to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied the mountain on one side, and the Israelites occupied the mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the camps of the Philistines. His name was Goliath, from Gath, and his height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of copper on his head, and he was wearing a coat of mail of overlapping scales. The weight of the copper coat of mail was 5,000 shekels. He had shin guards of copper on his legs, and a javelin of copper slung between his shoulders. The wooden shaft of his spear was like the beam of loom workers, and the iron blade of his spear weighed 600 shekels, and his shield bearer was marching ahead of him. Then he stood and called out to the battle line of Israel and said to them,
"Why have you come out to draw up in battle formation? Am I not the Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and strike me down, we will then become your servants. But if I prevail against him and strike him down, you will become our servants and serve us."
The Philistine then said,
"I do taunt the battle line of Israel this day. Give me a man and let us fight it out."
When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they became terrified and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite from Bethlehem of Judah, named Jesse, who had 8 sons, and who in the days of Saul was already an old man. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the war. The names of his 3 sons who went to war were Eliab, the firstborn, his second son, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. David was the youngest, and the three oldest followed Saul. David was going back and forth from Saul to tend the sheep of his father at Bethlehem. Meanwhile, the Philistine would come forward and take his position each morning and each evening for 40 days. Then Jesse said to his son David,
"Take, please, this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers in the camp. And take these 10 portions of cheese to the chief of the 1,000. Also, you should check on the welfare of your brothers and bring back some token from them."
They were with Saul and all the other men of Israel in the Valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. So David got up early in the morning and left someone in charge of the sheep. Then he packed up and went, just as Jesse had commanded him. When he came to the camp enclosure, the army was going out to the battle line, shouting a battle cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up, so that one battle line faced the other battle line. David immediately left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line. When he arrived, he began asking about the welfare of his brothers. While he was speaking with them, there came the champion named Goliath, the Philistine from Gath. He came out from the battle line of the Philistines, and he spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him, terrified. The men of Israel were saying,
"Have you seen this man who is coming out? He comes to taunt Israel.
The king will give great riches to the man who strikes him down. He will give him his own daughter, and he will give the house of his father exemption in Israel."
David began to say to the men who were standing near him,
"What will be done for the man who strikes down that Philistine over there and takes away reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the battle line of the living God?"
Then the people told him the same thing as before.
"This is what will be done for the man who strikes him down."
When his oldest brother Eliab heard him speak to the men, he became angry with David and said,
"Why have you come down? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I well know your presumptuousness and the bad intentions of your heart. You came down just to see the battle."
To this, David said,
"What have I done now? I was only asking a question."
So he turned from him towards someone else and asked the same thing as before, and the people gave him the same reply as before. The words that David had spoken were overheard and reported to Saul. So he sent for him. David said to Saul,
"Let no one lose heart because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine."
But Saul said to David,
"You are not able to go fight against this Philistine, for you are but a boy, and he has been a soldier from his youth."
David then said to Saul,
"Your servant became a shepherd of his father's flock, and a lion came, also a bear, and each carried off a sheep from the flock. I went out after it, and struck it down, and rescued it from its mouth. When it rose up against me, I grabbed it by its fur and struck it down and put it to death. Your servant struck down both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will become like one of them, for he has taunted the battle lines of the living God."
Then David added,
"Jehovah, who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear, he is the one who will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine."
At this, Saul said to David,
"Go. And may Jehovah be with you."
Saul now clothed David with his garments. He put a copper helmet on his head, after which he clothed him with a coat of mail. Then David strapped on his sword over his garments and tried to go, but could not, for he was not used to them. David said to Saul,
"I am unable to go in these things, for I am not used to them."
So David took them off. He then took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the stream bed and placed them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and his sling was in his hand. And he began approaching the Philistine. The Philistine came closer and closer to David, and his shield bearer was ahead of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he sneered at him in contempt because he was just a ruddy and handsome boy. So the Philistine said to David,
"Am I a dog so that you are coming against me with sticks?"
With that, the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David,
"Just come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the heavens and to the beasts of the field."
David replied to the Philistine,
"You are coming against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I am coming against you in the name of Jehovah of armies, the God of the battle line of Israel, whom you have taunted. This very day Jehovah will surrender you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And on this day I will give the corpses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the heavens and to the wild beasts of the earth. And people of all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not with the sword or the spear that Jehovah saves, for the battle belongs to Jehovah, and he will give all of you into our hand."
Then the Philistine rose and drew steadily closer to meet David. But David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David thrust his hand into his bag and took a stone from there and slung it. He struck the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. He struck down the Philistine and put him to death, though there was no sword in David's hand. David continued running and stood over him. Then he took hold of the Philistine's sword and pulled it out of its sheath and made sure that he was dead by cutting off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their mighty one had died, they fled.
The account of David and Goliath is a lesson about courage, but it's also a lesson about practical wisdom and faith in action. David was working when his father told him to take provisions to his brothers at the battlefront. So David was expected to do 2 things at one time. How could he take care of his family's flock and at the same time deliver goods to his brothers several miles away? He showed practical wisdom. He also showed he was a trustworthy person. The Bible says, "David got up early in the morning and left someone in charge of the sheep. Then he packed up and went, just as Jesse had commanded him." Soon, he faced a potentially paralyzing situation. David went looking for his brothers, only to find Israel's army terrified by Goliath's menacing posture and demoralized by his taunts. David's immediate response showed his courage. He asked why no one had yet struck down the presumptuous man who dared to taunt Jehovah. Yet David's own brother, Eliab, berated him in public, questioned his motives, called him presumptuous, and accused him of neglecting his father's flocks. Nevertheless, David volunteered to fight Goliath, only to get brushed off by the king. Saul told him he couldn't possibly defeat Goliath because David was just a boy. What did David do in the face of such disheartening circumstances? He showed courage. That courage gave him the spiritual and emotional strength to go to work. He remembered what Jehovah had done for him in the past. David never forgot how Jehovah rescued him from a bear and a lion, both of which are superior to humans in speed and strength. Jehovah not only rescued David, but he also enabled him to kill those ferocious beasts. so David could confidently say, "Jehovah, who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear, he is the one who will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." When we face discouragement, or even depression, could we benefit from meditating on the ways Jehovah has already rescued us from seemingly insurmountable problems? David was courageous and went to work. He made practical decisions with good results. For example, when Saul offered David his own heavy battle gear, David gave it a try. But he soon realized that a copper helmet, a coat of mail, and a sword strapped over his garment would only get in his way. So, what did he do? In effect, he simplified. He got rid of the burden. What about us? Over the years, we might have cluttered our lives with non-essential possessions or unnecessary activities. These things can smother our spirituality. If that's true of you, why not go to work? Take inventory of your possessions and habits and eliminate what's cumbersome. By simplifying our life, we can make it easier to keep our eye focused on serving Jehovah. Like all of us, David wasn't perfect, but his courageous and decisive actions made him Jehovah's dear friend. Thus, at the end of his faithful course, David could with total freeness of speech tell his son, "Be courageous and strong, and go to work."